of chapter 8, and just this one verse, verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. My title this evening of this message is Waiting for the Lord. They were waiting for him. Now, I didn't read the context of this, but let me tell you just a little bit about what happened. Here in verse 1, the Lord had preached to most of these people. That's what we see here in verse 1 of chapter 8. The scripture says there that he went through all the cities and villages preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. He preached to most of these people that were waiting for him. And here in verse 2, he healed many of their infirmities. We're told there about some of the women, Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the wife of Herod Stewart. Many of them were healed and devils cast from them, and no doubt many that were not told of here. But the Lord preached in this chapter to these people, and then we're told here in verse 22 that he gave his apostles, his disciples, instruction, and they went over the sea of Galilee. And you remember the great storm that they encountered there, where the Lord went to sleep and he woke up and rebuked the wind and the waves of the sea, and there was a calm. And then he entered this country of the Gadarenes. And the first thing he did when he got off of that boat was to say probably the worst man in that whole country. He lived among the tombs, was naked, and the scripture says he was full of devils. He had a legion of devils. Of course, the people asked him to leave. They were afraid and besought him to leave, and he did, but not until he saved the object of his electing love. Saved him, put him in his right mind, and clothed him. I tell you, I love to see it when the Lord faces opposition. There's something about when you read that incident that takes place, and he faces this opposition, and he proves himself to be irresistible in his grace. And he went over here to this country, and he saved that Gadarene maniac, but he faced all this opposition and overcame all of it. As soon as he got on that sea of Galilee and went to sleep, the storm came in, and he got up and rebuked it. He overcame the unbelief of those disciples. He overcame all those devils that were in that man. Overcame the wretchedness of that man's own deadness and trespasses and sins and rebellion. What have I to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Well, you don't have nothing to do with him, but he's got something to do with you. He came over here to save you from this awful dilemma that you're in. And that's what he did. He saved this man by irresistible grace. And the Lord Jesus then was asked by these people to leave, to depart from those, from their country. But aren't you so thankful that though the Lord Jesus Christ is not welcomed in some places, he's welcomed in other places? The Gadareans said, "Would you depart out of our coast?" And he did. But our text here this evening tells us that others were welcoming him and waited and received him gladly. And there may be churches this evening in this town, and no doubt there is, that where the Lord Jesus Christ and his free grace is not welcome. But God knows he's welcome here. He's welcome here. We'll be like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We'll beg him, "Lord, come and dwell with us. Come in here and sup with us." Now, here's what I want to look at just this evening for a few minutes with you. And first of all, I want you to notice this in our text. The scripture says this, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people received him, for they were all waiting for him. Now here is a beautiful picture. And the scripture says this, they were all waiting for him. That's a good thought, ain't it? They were all waiting for him. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Our congregation's not very big, but ain't it a wonderful thing when we're all here waiting for him?
Yes.
And I think the Holy Spirit said this on purpose, to know that all these people were here. You know, you see them out there on the shore, and what amazing sight it was. But all of them who were waiting on the Lord, it says, they were there. Everyone that was waiting on the Lord, he was there. None of them kept the master waiting. You know, you'd rather keep Caesar waiting than the Lord Jesus waiting. They probably thought to themselves, we don't want to keep our master waiting. Let's go wait on him. So that's what they did. They waited. And you know, nobody was coming in late. I know we can't help that sometimes. Some things happen and we come in late. But isn't it a beautiful sight when we're all gathered here and the Lord is not waiting on us, but we're waiting on him. The Lord was coming. And the scripture says they were all waiting on him. Can you imagine what a sad sight it would have been if the Lord Jesus had got there and he had lifted up his eyes towards heaven and he was praying. And in comes this guy with his wagon full of kids on his cart and making all kinds of commotion. And the master prayed. No, that didn't happen with this congregation, did it? They were all there waiting on him. Cornelius made mention of this when Peter was going down to preach to him, when God had turned to the Gentiles. And Peter went in and said, why have you called me down here? And the first thing that Cornelius said was, we're all here present. Every one of them. He'd got his family together. He's got his brothers and sisters, his servants, his soldiers. Everyone was congregated together. And the first thing he told Peter, we are all here present. Can you imagine what an exciting group of people that was? Waiting to hear the gospel. He'll tell thee words whereby thou can be saved. Oh, how excited they must have been. What great expectation they had. But they were all there. And that's what we see standing on this seacoast. They were all there waiting. But he says something else here, and we emphasize this part of that. They were all waiting for him. I like that. They were waiting for him. You see this large congregation there on the Galilean seacoast? And all their faces were looking in one direction. Just set like a flint out on that water. And they were waiting for him. They weren't waiting for James and Peter and John. Oh, they loved them, no doubt. And there would have been time to give them a hug and welcome them back. But I tell you who they were waiting on. They were waiting on the Lord. That's what our text says. What? He returned. And they received him gladly, for they were all waiting for him. We love our dear preachers. We love our teachers. We love our helps. Terrence and I was talking this morning. Don't know what we'll do without Glenn. We just miss him so bad when he ain't here and when he ain't leading the singing. We just miss him. And we love Brother Glenn. We love helps and helpers and pastors and teachers. But I tell you, as much as we love them, they can't heal our broken hearts. They can't strengthen our poor, weak spirits. They can't lift us up when we're down. We're here to wait on the Lord, aren't we? We're waiting on the Lord. And if he doesn't show up this evening in a song or a prayer, or if he doesn't show up in the message, I hope you're somewhat disappointed. I hope you ain't here this evening just to see me. I hope you're not here this evening just to hear me. But you're not content until you see him and you hear his voice. Mr. Spurgeon told about this lady that was in London one time. Somebody said, "Do you want to go to the Metropolitan Tabernacle and worship?" She said, "I need the Lord's visitation so bad. I want to go over them and worship while we're here." So she went over there and the Lord blessed her as Spurgeon preached. And a few days later she said, "I'm going back. I've got to hear that man preach again." And she went back and she left very disappointed. And she told Mr. Spurgeon, she said, "I'm very disappointed tonight." He said, "Let me ask you why you came here the first time." She said, "I come here seeking the Lord." He said, "Why did you come here the second time?" "I came here to hear Mr. Spurgeon." He said, "There's your problem." These men weren't waiting on James and John and these apostles, as much as they loved them and valued them. But the scripture says they were waiting on the Lord. They were waiting on the Lord. Oh, and when he revives, when he arrives, it's like water poured on our dry grounds of our hearts. It's like light in a dark place. "They that sit in darkness have seen a great light." These people which sit in darkness, these were waiting on the Lord. That's what our text said. And this was a sight, no doubt, our Master himself delighted to see, because this was a needy people waiting on him. They were all waiting for him, and they were so needy. We're told in this context here, one man that was in this congregation was Jairus. He's the man who had the daughter that was dying. And he was there waiting for the Lord to return. And he came up to the Lord Jesus and fell right down at his feet and said, "Lord, my daughter's dying. Would you come and lay your hands on her that she may live?" This was a man in that congregation waiting because he had this great need. Nobody could help him but Jesus of Nazareth. That's why he was waiting. "Oh, my daughter," he said, "come and heal my daughter." Brothers and sisters, do you feel like I do this evening? What are we going to do if the Lord don't save our children? Don't you feel so heavy sometimes that your heart is almost as heavy as this earth itself? "Lord, my dear daughter, come and lay your hands on my dear daughter. Come and drive the devil from my son and tell him never to enter." We're needy people, aren't we? Oh, Lord, come and visit us. We're needy. We're needy. Are we a needy congregation? The Lord loves a needy congregation that waits upon him. There's congregations tonight, I imagine, that don't need the Lord. That's sad to say, but it's probably so. They have their programs. They have their pastors who have degrees. And they're good at entertaining. They don't need the Lord. They're rich and increased with goods. They have need of nothing. And I'll confess before you this evening that I need him. I need the Lord. And I tell you who he visits. He may pass by those congregations that has no need of him, but I tell you who he will visit. "To this will I look," he said, "even to that man who is of poor and of a contrite spirit. He trembles at my word." That's a man who needs him. A congregation who needs him. He healed those who had need. What a beautiful sight. And this woman was here that had the issue of blood. Remember her? She was in this congregation. She was there waiting on the Lord. Secondly, about this, it's not always easy to wait on the Lord. It's easy to say it, but all to wait patiently for the Lord, it's difficult. I don't know how long these people have been waiting. The scriptures don't say. But you know, they had no idea, as far as you know, where the Lord went to. He left them and went across the sea that night. And they didn't know where he'd gone or when he was coming back. It's evident they didn't. If he had known, they wouldn't have been waiting. They'd have showed up at the same time he did. But nobody knew. They heard that there had been a great storm in the sea. But they had no idea when he was coming back. So the scripture says here, they were waiting. Boy, can you imagine how their legs ached and how their eyes burned looking out over that ocean with the sun blistering? Their stomachs were empty. Their mouths were dry. It's not easy to wait on the Lord. But these people waited on him. They waited on the Lord. And I think you can see the correlation here between waiting for him and receiving him gladly. Did you notice that in our text? The scripture said when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him because they were waiting on him. See the correlation between waiting? Sometimes it's difficult to wait. But all the joy when he shows up. And I'm glad sometimes when we wait, Glenn, when he makes us to wait. He brings us to this point. If he showed up too quick, we wouldn't appreciate his return. If he'd have showed up the day before, Jairus may have never been there pleading for his daughter. This woman with an issue of blood maybe never needed him yesterday. But in waiting, he brings us to the point where we receive him gladly when he shows up. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. They were made to wait in order that their hearts may rejoice the greater. The Lord's absence is one of the best rods of correction. You ever notice that in your own experience? He leaves you to correct you. Imagine this woman here with an issue of blood. Imagine how her thoughts afflicted her as she waited for the Lord to come back across that sea. And she probably began to think, why didn't I come to him yesterday? Why was I over there paying those physicians of no value who could not help me at all? Now he may never come back again. What will I do if he don't return? Oh, how she was corrected. How she was corrected. Some other may have said, oh, I've offended him. He may never return. Boy, I tell you, I don't know if they said this or not, but I have. I've said, oh, if he ever shows up again, when he does return, I'll appreciate him next time. I'll not neglect him like I did. Well, sometimes when he departs from us and don't manifest himself, it's a rod of correction for you and I. Somehow Felix's attitude, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. If God ever takes a hand to correct those of that attitude, boy, they'll put their hands over their mouth. They'll wonder if there's any mercy for such blasphemous procrastinators. He uses his absence to correct us of our procrastination and unappreciative of his precious presence. Oh, another said, I'd have not have treated him so illy. I wasn't thankful for his presence when I had it. You ever been there? Oh, one man said, he fed me and my whole family with those loaves and fishes, and we walked away and never gave it a second thought. Oh, how unthankful many were, and how thankful many are for his presence. Until they lose it. And that's one of the ways he has it correcting us. Some who were anxiously waiting probably said, when he does return, we'll not let him go so easily the next time. The next time when he departs, we'll go with him. We'll cleave to him with purpose of heart next time. You say, Bruce, are you sure they said that? I don't know if they did or not, but I'm telling you what I say. That's been my attitude. And boy, when he did finally show up, what did the scripture say? They received him gladly. Don't that tell you that there was something in their hearts that was anxious that he show up? That they waited with a degree of anxiety about it all. Because they received him gladly. And you read the context here, they were thorning him so bad. They were pressing in on him so bad. They were so anxious that this woman had to press her way through the crowd. They were so happy. They were so glad. They received him with gladness. I tell you, I never pray. I don't pray for myself, and I never pray for you for an absence of the Lord's presence. But there's some good in it when God's pleased to turn it from that. When David had sinned, one of the things that afflicted him as much as anything, Lord, don't cast me out of your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Ain't it almost a hell upon this earth when he's not present? You lose your joy, you lose your assurance, you lose your patience. And think about this. When the Lord makes us wait for him, he proves our true desires. Do we really want him to return? No doubt in these people here, there were crops that need to be got in or tended or hoed. There were cattle that need to be fed. There were fences that need to be mended. And there's a time for those things. But Lord, right now, there was something more important than anything else. And he proved it to them. Waiting for the Lord. Waiting for the Lord. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. Why? Because the desire of our soul is to thy name. Boy, I tell you, he proves us. He proves it. And I can't understand this point, but there's something in waiting on the Lord that increases our confidence. I don't know what it is. But Jairus was waiting on the Lord, and when the Lord showed up, Jairus said this to the Lord Jesus, "Come and lay your hands on my daughter, and she shall live." She shall live. And here this woman with an issue of blood said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." These were two people who are waiting on him. And sometimes waiting increases our confidence. I don't understand that, but it does. Listen to what David said. "I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope." Waiting increases our hope. And it also increases our confidence. Hope and confidence. And this point, as I looked at this, I thought of this. Some instructions to help us in waiting. What will help us to wait? Well, one thing, I'll encourage us to stay where we know the Lord's going to show up. It won't do any good to wait on him if you're not where he's coming. I had no idea how these people knew where the Lord was coming to. I don't know if there was a dock there or a large clearing. I don't know if it was just customary. This is where they docked their boat at. But some way or another, they knew this was the place that he was coming to. So they got right there and they waited. You know where's the best place to wait on the Lord Jesus Christ at? Wait on Him in the way of prayer. Call on His name and wait on Him. Wait on Him in His Word. Find you a precious promise and wait right there until it's fulfilled. Wait on Him here among the assembly of the saints, where His gospel is taught, where it's believed, where it's loved, where He's worshipped. If He's going to show up, you know He's going to show up where His people are. And where's His people? Some of them right here on His gospel. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to her inclined. Keep His way. That's where we wait on Him at. And secondly, let this encourage us, don't be envious at those who are not waiting on Him, and they seem to prosper in the way. David said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him, and fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but they that wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Brothers and sisters, I've got no envy in my heart for the rich, wicked people of this world. God bless them. This is the best life they're going to know. I'd rather be sick. I'd rather be weak. I'd rather be flat on my back waiting on the Lord, as to enjoy all the advantages of this world and be cast out when the Lord comes. Wait on the Lord, David said. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. And let this encourage us to seek the Lord and instruct us and help us to wait on Him. The Lord Jesus has a habit of returning to those who wait for Him. He has a habit of returning. And you notice that's what our text said, wasn't it? In verse 40, he said this, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, he had been there before, hadn't he? That's the way he works. If he's been there before, and he started to work there, he'll return again. He won't let his work go unfinished. He had a work to do. It's evident. I gave you two examples of it, in Jairus and this woman. And here is a blessed truth. Listen to this. If a man is truly waiting on the Lord, it's because the Lord has already been there before. That's why you're waiting on Him. If the Lord had not visited you first, you'd never be waiting on Him. These were waiting, expecting His return. If we have a desire to learn of the Lord, it's because He's already been teaching us in measure. If we have a desire to come to Him, it's because He's already drawing us. If we're hungry for the bread of life, it's because He's already put that hunger there. And He'll return and He'll satisfy that hunger with Himself. If a man is thirsting for the water of life, then Christ has already put that thirst there. And be assured of this, where He makes a man thirsty, He'll satisfy that thirst with Himself. He never starts a work and leaves it unfinished. He never visits a people and puts them hoping and waiting for Him and then refuses to return. He had been here with these people. He had taught them His gospel, and now He is returning to them because they were waiting for Him. Are you waiting on the Lord this evening? Are you waiting on Him? Then you can be encouraged in this. It's His custom to return where He's been before. Therefore, wait patiently for Him. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Wait patiently. He'll strengthen your heart David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he was in an awful, awful pit. But he said, I waited still. And what happened? He lifted me up and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings and put a song in my heart. Wait, he said, upon the Lord. He'll return. He'll return. There's been a time when you and I, we didn't need him any more than these Gadareans needed him. We basically told him, depart from us. Did we not? We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. But what did he do? He visited us. He visited us with his rod. He visited us in his grace. And he put us hoping and waiting. And how often now do we have to wait? But we've always found him faithful to return. May God bless his word.